My name's Tim. It is a privilege, as always, to be speaking this morning. I'll introduce myself in a moment, but first just like to start with a prayer for me and for us. Father, I just pray that you would take the words I prepared this morning and that you would speak through them. And Lord, if you want to say something different into people's hearts, Lord, then please do that. And Lord, I pray for each of us here today that our hearts will be open to hear from you through the talk, through the worship, or through fellowship after the service. Okay. Well, my name's Tim, as I said before. I've been privileged to be part of this church for well over a decade, and it's always a real joy to come and speak, and I hope I'll be a blessing to you this morning. And welcome to those of you joining online. It's great to have you with us, and I hope that you feel part of us, even if you're watching through a screen. I'm going to start with a quick story this morning. So this is very much a kind of beginning of the year type talk. But a few years ago, Lizzie and I were taking the family on holiday to the Isle of Wight. At the time, Lizzie was pregnant with Quinn, so it's a few years ago. And we set the sat-nav to take us to the ferry port to get our ferry. The journey was going really well. We were getting closer to our destination and ended up driving into a lovely Hampshire village near Portsmouth. We could see the sea, and we were excited to go on our holiday. But while we could see the sea, we couldn't see very many ships. Now, those of you in the know will understand that ferries are pretty difficult to miss. And we realized we hadn't seen a lot of signs for a ferry port, which are also quite hard to miss because they're full of ferries. So we realized that someone, me, had put the wrong postcode into the sat-nav, and we were still about 25 minutes from our destination. It was going to be a cutting it fine to get to our boat. We had let the sat-nav lead us. We hadn't. It fully engaged. And we trusted it, along with my wife had trusted me to put the postcode into the sat-nav. But we'd failed to kind of engage our senses and our brains and check that we were going in the right direction. Thankfully, we did make it to our boat on time, but it was rather an uncomfortable 25 minutes for me because a few days before, we'd realized that I'd only booked us foot passenger tickets and then suddenly had to arrange to get the car on the ferry. Understandably, my wife was worried that I didn't actually want to go on this holiday by this point. Yes. But the question I want to address this morning is, what are we going to let lead us this year? Or put another way, what are we going to follow? And it's a good thing to be thinking about at the beginning of the year. Our passage definitely gives us some interesting insight into this today. And we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 23. But I'm going to kind of look back a little bit into that chapter because I'm going to bring the wise men in that Carol was talking about last week. So if you want to follow along through the chapter, it's on page 966 of the Church Bibles. And it would be sensible if you've got one to hand to do that. This passage, before I read it, is known for the shocking actions of Herod that we'll hear about. But it covers also a part of Jesus' life that we don't tend to consider very often, his early life and his exile in Egypt, which mirrors the story of his people Israel. Who God led into Egypt in order to protect them and then led them out again so that they could be a blessing, become a blessing to the world. We led them out to protect them, but led them out to be become a blessing to the world. They were supposed to display God's glory to the world so that people would know who God was. And while they tried, they ultimately failed. But where the Israelites failed, Jesus succeeded. Showing us the nature and character of God and starting a movement in the church that has and will continue to go on to change our world. But before we get into the passage, there are kind of three kind of groups of people that we're going to be talking about, or groups of characters that we're going to meet today, which are all being led by something. So we have the Magi, the wise men that came from the east. Carol spoke about them last week and the gifts that they brought. They were following a light in the sky. They were seekers. We have King Herod, appointed ruler over the Jews by Rome, and that's where we're going to kind of start our passage, following his political ambitions. We might refer to him as a bit of a schemer. And we have Joseph and Mary, Jesus' earthly parents, following God's leading and choosing wisely. And unfortunately, I couldn't come up with another S, so I'm going to refer to them as trusters, or listeners and trusters. Please, you may need to bear with me today as well, because I've got a little bit of a cough, so if I have to stop, do forgive me. So a reminder of the question as we come to read our passage. In 2023, as we start the year, what will we follow? Or what will we allow ourselves to be led by? So Matthew 2, verse 13 through to 23. When they had gone, and they refers to the visit from the wise men, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, so that was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up and took the child and his mother and went back to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. So our first group of characters aren't quite in the passage, but they are referred to, and they're the Magi, wise men from the east, who came following a star in the sky. It heralded the birth of a king, and they've come to find and worship him. This group are seekers, seekers after truth. They found a source of light, both metaphorically through their learning and study, which has led them to identify this event, and also physically via a star in the sky. And they followed it. Quite understandably, they turn up at the palace in Jerusalem, expecting to find the new king there. The current king welcomes them in, quizzes them, and sends them on their way to find the new king, asking him to return and tell the new king, tell him where this new king is. The Magi follow the light to find the king and worship him. The Magi are seeking and following the source of light that they have access to. When they find the king, who we as Christians believe to be the ultimate source of truth and revelation about God and the nature of human existence and what it takes for us to flourish, they worship him. And then they move on. They do hear God's warning not to return via Herod, and in doing so, protect Jesus from Herod's personal ambition. So if you're here today, and you're a seeker, and you found a source of light, test it, value it, just as the Magi did. Of course, they met Jesus as a young child at the beginning of his earthly story. And then they followed God's leading, and they left. But if you're seeking today, I encourage you, stay longer than the Magi did. For the Jesus that you can know is no longer a baby. He's a king. And he's not just worth knowing about or just meeting, he's worth following. As Carol shared last week, the gifts that the Magi brought speak to the nature of Jesus and his story. Gold for a king, the most precious of metals in the ancient world, and the giving of it speaks to Jesus' right to rule over his creation. Frankincense for a priest. This was used in the Jewish temple and is still used in churches around the world to convey the sense of the presence of God. It's used by priests. The Latin word for priest, which you might be hearing in the news recently, is pontifex. Anyone know the French word pont? What does the French word pont mean? bridge. It's from the same root in Latin. A priest is to be the bridge between God and humanity. Jesus was that incarnate. He was both God and man. He bridged the divide. And he opened up a way for us to be able to know God personally and intimately. Myrrh speaks of Jesus' death. It was used as part of the embalming process in the ancient world and connects with that death that Jesus would die. But through his death, Jesus brings life to the world by paying the price for all our errors and making us right again with God by accepting Jesus' sacrifice and his loving kingship in our lives. As I said, Jesus is a king worth following. He sacrificed his position to become a baby and show us how to live life well. And he sacrificed the life that he lived on this earth for us to pay the price and carry the weight of all the things that we've done to hurt ourselves and others. He's a king worth following. But our second character is Herod. In the passage, we can see his shrewdness, the fact that he was concerned with his status above all else. He was a schemer. Those things, his concern with his status is absolutely true. And unfortunately, his need for status and power leave his character flawed to the extent that he is willing to murder innocent babies. What we know from the historical record is that Herod was actually quite an effective ruler. He even did show care for the people at large, so long as they weren't a threat to him. There is a record of him selling part of his family wealth to provide food for people in a time of famine. The Romans trusted him to rule the whole nation of Israel. Before Herod and after Herod, the Romans split it into smaller sections so that they could control it more easily. But there is a record of a Roman officer referring to Herod and saying it's safer to be one of Herod's pigs than one of his sons. It's believed that Herod has lust for power and position meant that he considered anyone a threat and tried to anyone that could be a threat he tried to remove, which included murdering maybe three of his own sons and one of his wives. And Herod's recorded to have said as he was dying that, "I know no one will mourn my passing." What a lonely way to go. Herod is a schemer, and he chooses to follow his ambitions. He worked to control outcomes and protect his position and power at all costs. This led him to miss the blessing of Jesus' birth and interpret it as a threat to his own status and power. So worried was he by this that he orders the deaths of all the boys under two in the area around Bethlehem. When I talk about Jesus as king, it is easy for us to perceive that as a threat to our own sense of ownership and control of our lives and destinies. So Herod is certainly not alone in interpreting Jesus' kingship as a threat. We can easily find ourselves in that place too, clinging to our wants and our desires. And if we're honest, the truth is we are often led as humans by our wants and maybe by our ambitions. And this leads us to miss the bigger picture, as our focus is solely on ourselves. When this is the case, we tend to choose poorly in our actions, and we end up damaging others, and often ourselves in the process. While we might not be guilty of murdering innocents, we can easily end up assassinating people's characters through gossip or trying to control and manipulate situations to our own ends. In doing so, we invariably damage relationships and often end up compromising our own happiness, which is kind of ironic because often it's our own happiness that we are trying to fulfill or make the outcome. So my encouragement to us today is let's not end up in the place of Herod where no one wants us around. That is misery. No matter what else we manage to achieve or accumulate for ourselves, would we really want to look back on this year or across our lives and think no one would miss me if I wasn't here? Our third group of characters in the passage, or in the chapter, are Mary and Joseph, the people that God entrusted to raise his son. What a responsibility. The example that these two set in how to listen, how to trust and follow God in humility is incredible. I was hearing a song by a Christian singer called Jason Gray before Christmas that talks of Joseph and his ability to forgive in the Christmas story as a miracle. Imagine your fiancé was pregnant with a child that you knew was not yours. Most of us would rail and want revenge. But Joseph seeks a way to treat Mary with dignity by divorcing her in private. He doesn't let his pain lead his actions, but is generous in a painful situation. We can see why God chose Joseph to help raise Jesus. Now, when an angel does turn up, as you'll remember from the Christmas story, those of you who are familiar, and tells Joseph what's actually going on and who's in control of the situation, he responds with humility and takes a great step of faith to marry and support Mary in what must have been a bewildering set of events for him. And Mary is no less incredible. Taking on the responsibility of bearing and raising a child when she does not know how her fiancé will react to the news. In that culture, to become pregnant outside of marriage would have likely meant a life of poverty for Mary, being ostracized from her family and community. Yet Mary displays faith and follows God's calling on her life, even though making that step has a high degree of uncertainty in terms of outcome and a high degree of discomfort. All the more amazing when you realize Mary was likely around 14 years old and cannot see the end of the story from the beginning. It's a story we're so familiar with, but remember, she doesn't know how any of that will turn out. And in our passage, after the amazement of the wise men's visit, Mary and Joseph are warned in a dream about Herod's plans to kill Jesus and told to go to Egypt, which they duly do, taking them away from family, friends, and all that they've known into what the rest of the Jewish nation believed to be a land of darkness and sorcery. The Talmud, which is a really important Jewish text, refers to there being 10 portions of sorcery given to the earth, of which Egypt has 8. The Jews did not like Egypt. It is not a place where a respectable Jewish family would have chosen to raise a son. That said, Mary and Joseph listen to God and display faith again when it is time to leave Egypt. When it's time to go to Egypt, and in doing so, they step into uncertainty and discomfort, but ultimately end up saving Jesus' life. In Egypt, they hear God again through a dream and use wisdom to work out when it's safe to return and where to live. Following the death of Herod, his kingdom was split between 3 of his sons. Judea, where Jerusalem was ruled by Archelaus, who we heard of in the passage, and he's thought to have started his reign by killing 3,000 people. We might complain about our leaders from time to time, but at least we're not at threat of being murdered for dissent. Our democracy is a blessing, no matter the fact that it's also imperfect. Joseph decided to settle in Galilee, which was ruled by Herod Antipas, a more gentle ruler. And Joseph chooses Nazareth, which is on the main trading route into that part of the world from Africa. So Jesus would have been exposed to different cultures and people from an early age. What a great way to learn about the diversity of God's creation. And when we read these passages and we hear about angels and dreams, we can think that it was all so easy for them to believe and follow. In my own experience of hearing God and following his leading, I can say there have only been a very small handful of moments when I could say I was sure it was God. Much more often, it has been a feeling or the wisdom or guidance of a trusted friend. I've never seen an angel, but I do know that I've heard God, and there is always a choice and almost always a question that follows. The choice is, will I follow? Whatever this leading is, the choice is, will I do it? We all have choice. And the question that often, not always, but often follows is, was that God? Mary and Joseph must have had some of those same questions. And they chose to step out in faith anyway. It can be really helpful when we think we've heard something from God or a feeling is leading to go and get wisdom and counsel from another friend and believer that we trust. But that said, there are times when we can't delay or an opportunity to act and follow is gone. Just like for Mary and Joseph, they needed to flee to Egypt before Herod's men got to Bethlehem. And part of listening to God is stepping out and trying it. Obedience means we are more likely to hear God and be equipped to step out the next time. It can be scary. It was for Mary and Joseph. Joseph and Mary choose to follow God's leading and use wisdom. And in doing so, they endured discomfort and uncertainty, but ended up providing the world with the greatest gift it's ever known, Jesus. They could not have known the end result of their choices, but rather than trying to control situations and manipulate situations to be comfortable or to get something that they wanted, like Herod did, they listened to God and they stepped out in faith. So let's return to the question. What will you follow? Or what will you let lead you this year? So my encouragement to us this morning is kind of split into three, depending on where you are coming from today. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, but are seeking, like the wise men, look for light and follow it like the wise men did. But when you get to Jesus, stay long enough to get to know him and also to hear what he has to say about you. Don't just notice him and move on. That's not how relationships are built. And Jesus wants to create a relationship with you. For those of us who might be unsure about faith and Jesus, a little like Herod, then my encouragement to you is to be careful about scheming. The way that you prioritize your status and ambitions, please don't let it destroy the relationships or damage those around you. Make choices that mean people want to be around you and will miss you when you're gone. Doing so will increase your chances of happiness over the longer term. Happiness is not stuff. Happiness is so much more often the people that are around us. It might mean you don't get what you want in the short term, but it is a sacrifice worth making. And thirdly, for those of us who have decided to follow after God, like Mary and Joseph, and are building that relationship with Jesus, let's be listeners and trusters. I don't know if trusters is a word, but go with me. Okay, you know what I mean. Let's not try to control outcomes or manipulate things to get our own way. Let's listen out for God in dreams, in conversations with others, in scripture, and in our quiet times of prayer with him. Let's not be led by our ambitions or wants, but by wisdom, making good choices based on long-term rather than short-term thinking. Being willing to step into uncertainty where we feel God is calling us. Growth and blessing are rarely found in comfortable surroundings. Any one of you who's set New Year's resolutions about going to the gym will know that. It's not comfortable, otherwise you don't grow and develop. So let's not prioritize our comfort over our calling this year, or we might just miss being the blessing that God is wanting us to be. So in reflection, and we are coming into land now, do you know the whole of life works on faith? Whether you're a believer or not, when you get up and out of bed in the morning, you have faith the floor will support you. Otherwise, you wouldn't get out of bed. We all have faith. The question is, where are we going to put it this year? Are we going to put it in our ability to meet our own ambitions? Or are we going to put it, our faith and trust, into a loving Father who gave Jesus to and for us, and who desperately wants to lead us into a life where we flourish and are fulfilled, even if that means discomfort and uncertainty at times? Will we trust him through it? Let's close in prayer. Lord, as we step into 2023, lead us. Help us to spend time with you and be open to hearing your voice. Please, Lord, help us to make wise choices that build relationships and benefit those around us, not simply ourselves. Help us to step out humbly in faith, even when that makes us uncomfortable, maybe even especially when that makes us uncomfortable. And when we are uncertain about how things will work out, help us to remember the words of Psalm 25. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and decrees. Lord, help us be obedient to your leading in 2023. In Jesus' name, amen. Hand back to David.